Acts chapter 10. I want to dive into this story. I took a little bit of extra time reading that to kind of set the table for the message. But as in verse 33, immediately therefore when Cornelius is recounting this by the providence of God that was brought to pass in his life, and he's telling God's servant Peter, "You've well done that you've come. We're most happy that you have come. And I've gathered all my friends and all my family, and we are all here present before God Almighty." And that's how we meet today. We are all present here before God Almighty, before God. And we are here to hear. Not what you think, not to the philosophy, not the current issue of the day, not the politics of the day, not the moral issue of the day. We are all here to hear things, all things that are commanded. We want to hear what God says. We don't want to hear about the issue of the day. We want to hear what God says from His holy Word. Things commanded, commanded of God. We have in this conversion story of Cornelius a marvelous written display of the sovereign providence of God. How He works in the life of His people, how He worked in Cornelius, and at the same time, He was breaking down that old prejudiced heart that was still in Peter. Showing Peter that what God had cleansed, "Don't you call any man common or unclean, those whom I've chosen and called and blessed." God prepared Cornelius to hear the gospel, but God also blessed Peter to go to a house of a Gentile and to lodge with him and to stay with him. The Lord is preparing to call out His sheep. He said, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I also must bring." He's getting preparing to call out His sheep among the Gentiles. And He's going to display unto us, this will happen in the exact same way that He saved His elect among the Jews. The same way. By His sovereign grace, we believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as others. As Peter stood up in Acts 15:11, it's recorded, through the means He has ordained. Through the means He has ordained. Several times in this chapter, it talks about the words that God would have us speak. Commanded to preach the gospel. We're here to hear what God says. God has ordained the preaching of the gospel to the calling out of His sheep. "My sheep will hear my voice. I know them and they will follow me." We've seen this method of grace several times already in our study through the book of Acts. Peter preached at Pentecost. And God blessed a multitude of people. Philip was sent down into the desert country to one man, a black man from Ethiopia, who was studying Isaiah 53. And Philip began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus Christ crucified as the only Savior, the only Redeemer. We've seen this story again when Ananias was sent down to old Saul of Tarsus. And he told him, "God had chosen you to be a vessel of mercy and to preach the gospel." Cornelius, it says in verse 24 of our text, Cornelius, as he waited, he called together his kinsmen and his near friends. And then it says in verse 33, he said, "We're all here present before God to hear the things commanded of God." Here to hear. You know, I've experienced this in my life. I've experienced God gathering a people together to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's what's going on in Kingsport right now. That one family desiring to hear the gospel, and they have sent the word out to all their kinfolk. And when we go, they're here to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can think of another experience I had in this matter. Back about 25 years ago, there was a man who became interested in the gospel of God's grace, and he started watching Pastor Mahan on the TV, his TV program, back about 1981, 1982. Several years later, the man fell in love with Christ and the gospel and called Pastor Mahan one day and said, If I would build a building sufficient to hold a congregation, would you come and preach the gospel to my family? And Brother Henry said, well, sure I would. I'll do that. We'll send the gospel preacher. You provide the building. So the man right away, about 1985, he started building. He bought some property and constructed a building. And in that year of May 1986, the word went out into all that community that God's servant was coming to town. He had God's message. So he gathered all of his family, all of his friends, and they were all here to hear what God's servant had to say. And in May of 1986, I chauffeured my pastor up to that place that this man had built and established for the gospel to be preached. Some of you folks are still here that were in that meeting. I'm talking about what happened right here. Right here in 1986. They were all here to hear. This building was packed out for 3 days. And we came and we preached the gospel. And God was pleased to establish a gospel ministry right here. And we can still say, we're here to hear. We're here to hear. Some of Brother Paul's family still here worshiping God. And his family still supports this ministry by prayer and by other means. We're all here to hear. Now, here's the message. Here's the message. Peter opened his mouth. Verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and he said this. Of a truth. I speak the truth. Could God's servant do anything less than speak the truth? Of the truth. I'm going to speak the truth. Cornelius, and I know you're prepared to hear the truth. I perceive God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted of Him. Accepted of Him. My first point is this. Salvation is by the free and sovereign grace of God. God's mercy, God's grace, and love are completely unmerited. We don't merit mercy. It's not based upon who you are, nor what you have done, is it? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. He saved us. Not based upon who you are, black, white, young, old, bond free, educated or uneducated. It just doesn't matter. Grace is no respecter of person. He'll have mercy on whom He will have mercy. You see what he's saying here? Grace is not attracted nor rejected or repelled by any good or evil in us. It's totally outside of us. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's God that shows mercy. That's what's being said here. God is no respecter of person. Grace is no respecter. Mercy is no respecter. God will have mercy on whom He will have mercy. And then he said, in every nation, every nation, every nation. Revelation 5 talks about out of every kindred, tribe, nation, tongue, and under heaven, he'll have a multitude of sinners washed in the blood of Christ who sing unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. To him be all the honor and glory, both now and forever. In every nation, he that fears him. What is it to fear God? To worship Him. It's to honor Him. It's to look to Him with the highest esteem in your heart. Holy and reverent is God's name. In every nation, he that fears Him, worships Him, loves Him, and worketh righteousness is accepted of Him. Now, I know what the natural man thinks when he reads this, works righteousness and accepted. Right away, we equate that if I do good enough and produce enough, that I'll be accepted of Him. Isn't that what the natural man thinks? Based on salvation, based upon my performance? That's not what that said. That's not what's being said there. Who are those who work righteousness? Who are accepted? That, like all other verses, has to be looked at in light of all Scripture. To work righteousness is to renounce self-righteousness and to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is all my righteousness. That's how this sinner is justified before God, based upon the merit of Christ, based upon the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is called the Lord, our righteousness. We've learned those names. The children have learned those names. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. That's how we are accepted of Him. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 that we're accepted in the Beloved who is our righteousness. That's Peter's message. That's our message. The sovereign grace of God. Second point is this. The Word which God sent unto the children of Israel. Here's the necessity of preaching. The Word which God sent. The Word. That could also be reference to the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word which God sent unto the children of Israel. Preaching peace. Preaching peace. Everybody's interested in peace. Peace. How are we going to have peace with God? Well, just do the best you can. Everything will be all right. Just live a peaceable life. Everything will be all right. The problem is, everything I have is sin. The problem is, I'm born in sin. I've transgressed against God's holy law. God's angry with the wicked every day. And by nature, I'm a wicked man. By nature, I can't satisfy God. I can't recommend myself unto God. I can't, as some people say, I'm trying to make my peace with God. You can't do that. What does it say? Peter didn't say, well, you don't make your peace with God, Cornelius. He said, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Peace by Christ. It's peace by sacrifice. It's peace through strength. It's peace through power. It's peace by the blood of Christ. Turn to Romans 5. Look at this. Romans 5. Peace with God. You get that issue settled and everything else will fall into place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will line up in due time. Romans 5:1. Look at this here. Christ was delivered for our offenses and raised again because He justified us. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, faith that looks to Christ, the substitute, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God based upon His sacrifice. Find the book of Colossians chapter 1. We have peace with God. Oh, blessed peace. Reconciled unto God in Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, for it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Colossians 1, 19. Having made peace. Having made peace. He's already made peace for His children. He's already reconciled us unto God. Sin separated us from God. He reconciled us unto God. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they things be in earth or in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through His death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Peace through strength. Peace through His sacrifice. Peace with God. He made peace with the blood sacrifice of Himself. That's what He's saying here. Back to the text. The Word of God, the Gospel, is to be preached and published everywhere. Preaching peace. Peace by the Lord Jesus Christ. Saying that He is. He's not going to be Lord someday. He is Lord right now. That's how Peter started this whole thing. God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified. God had made Him both Lord and Christ. Preaching peace. John the Baptist, he pointed people to whom? Not to the law. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of God's elect, His world, the elect world." Paul and the other apostles pointed sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord. He is Lord. Not by something I do. God made Him Lord by His decree. Talking about His office as mediator. In His person, He is God. But in His office, He's designated as the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all in creation, in providence, and most especially in salvation. God has given Him power over all flesh that He should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given Him. Here's the third point of this message found in verse 38. The Word published throughout all Judea. John preached the gospel. The apostles preached the gospel. John the Baptist, the last Old Testament prophet. Verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. God was with him. God was in him. We declare, here's what he's saying to Cornelius in his house. We declare that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Those Jews were looking for a Messiah. Peter declares unto him that the Lord Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ of God. He is the anointed of God. Turn back to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Our Lord, when He came to His hometown of Nazareth, Luke chapter 4, Jesus of Nazareth, this man who was hated and despised, they called Him a winebibber, a gluttonous man. They said, this man's a devil, he has a devilish spirit. This man who's despised and hated, he is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And that's what Peter is declaring. He is the anointed of God, the Christ of God. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. When He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. He observed the law. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found a place where it is written, this is from Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me." He is the anointed. "To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book. Gave it to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." He is the Christ. Don't look for the Messiah to come. He has already come. We declare unto you that Jesus of Nazareth is the anointed Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the anointed of God. In all His offices, prophet, priest, and king, He's anointed of God. As the prophet that God said, "I'll raise up a prophet, he'll speak unto you all the will of God and the Word of God, you'll hear him, he's my servant, my anointed." He's God's prophet to reveal the Father unto us. He said, "No man knows the Father, but he to whom the Son will reveal Him. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes." He is that anointed prophet. He is the Christ to reveal the gospel to us. He is the priest of God. Like Aaron of old was anointed. Aaron and his sons were anointed in that office. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great high priest, anointed of God and blessed of God to represent us and to put away the sin of God's people. He obtained for us eternal redemption with His own blood. And He is the anointed King. He rules and reigns over everything. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In this life, as the surety of His people, He honored God's law. It says there He went about doing good. He couldn't do anything but good. He is goodness personified. Remember when Moses said, "Show me your glory," and God said, "I'll make all my goodness pass before you." He is goodness. That's talking about Christ, the coming of the Messiah. He said, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy." He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the wicked one. Even the devils recognized Him as God Almighty. "Why have you come to torment us before time?" Even they fled at His presence and bowed to Him as Lord, as God's Christ. And then it says that God was with Him. Emmanuel. Turn over here to Matthew chapter 1. This Jesus of Nazareth, He is the Messiah. He is exactly what He's called. Savior. Jesus. Call His name Jesus. Matthew 1:21. "She shall bring forth a son." Matthew 1:21. "Thou shalt call His name Savior." What it means. "Jesus. For He shall save His people from their sin." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. God was in Christ, reconciling us unto Himself. The fourth point is of Peter's message is found in verse 39. "We are witnesses of all things which He did." Everything which He did, all that He has said, and all that He has done in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And we're witnesses of this too, of His crucifixion. They slew Him, and they crucified Him, and they put Him to death. We are witnesses of these things. "We preach how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Turn back to Acts chapter 2. Remember our study from the second chapter? "We preach how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Acts chapter 2, verse 22. "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, as yourselves know. Also know, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel, foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." You killed the Son of God. God raised Him from the dead. Now look back to the text again. Acts chapter 10. "Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." What does this mean? To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ crucified is not just to declare that He died. Everybody's saying that, aren't they? It's to declare how He died according to the Scriptures in fulfilling all things and what He accomplished. What did He accomplish when He died? Four things. Put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He shall save His people from their sin. He justified them by His blood. We're justified by the blood of Christ. He redeemed us from all sin by His blood. We're redeemed not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. All for whom He died. Can any sinner perish if He paid their sin debt? God forbid. God forbid. He laid down His life for the sheep. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. It is Christ who died, yea, rather, risen again, He's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That's the good news. Just not that He died, but what did He accomplish? Salvation. He said, it's done. It is done. It is well done. Look at verse 40. Here's the fifth point to this message. Verse 40. Him God raised from the dead. Him God raised from the dead. You check me out on this. All through the preaching in the book of Acts, beginning with Peter, every sermon that's recorded talks about His resurrection. 37, 38 times. Every sermon talks about His resurrection. God raised Him from the dead. What is the significance of that? The significance of that is this. What He did was accomplished, put away our sin, justified and redeemed us, but more than that, accepted of God. When He by Himself purged our sin, He sat down at the right hand of God. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to glory and is sitting on the throne of God right now. He's accepted and we're accepted in Him. God raised Him from the dead. And it's not just a spirit thing, it's a bodily thing. Bodily resurrection, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorified God-man is in glory. The forerunner for us has entered in, seated. I'm in Him. Where the head is, the body's close behind. What's true of the head is true of the body. In Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about us already being exalted and seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. I'm not there in my person yet. But in my representative I am, in my substitute I am, and in reality one day I will be soon. To be absent from this body, to be present with the Lord. Now let's go on. Peter in verse 42. Verse 41 says, we're witness of His resurrection. We did eat with Him, we did drink with Him after He rose from the dead. It's real. The resurrection is real. Verse 42, He said, we are commanded to preach this message. We are here to hear all things commanded of God. We're commanded to preach that He died for our sins according to the Scripture. We're commanded to preach that He is the Messiah. We're commanded to preach that God raised Him and He ascended to glory and seated at the right hand of God. And He commanded us to preach unto the people, verse 42. There's the importance of preaching. Is it necessary? Absolutely. Absolutely. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it was He. That it was He. He is that He is. It is He. Ordained of God. Blessed of God. Sent of God. Commissioned of God. Appointed of God. Died by the decree of God. Sent of God as the Lamb of God. He is ordained of God to be Savior, to be Redeemer, to be Prophet, Priest, and King. But what else does it say right there? It says that He's the Judge. He's the Judge. He's the Judge of the living and the dead. He is the righteous Judge of God's elect. We're judged in Him at the cross. Our sins were judged in Him. And at the last day, God appointed a day in which He will judge all men by that man. Turn to Acts 17. God's elect have already been judged in Christ. My sin's already been judged in Christ. But those who die without Christ, our Lord said, if you die in your sin, you cannot come where I am. If you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sin. Acts 17, look at this. This is Paul preaching to those philosophers on Mars Hill. At the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, Jew and Gentile, all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has ordained, whereof he had given assurance unto all that he raised him from the dead. The standard of judgment is not me. It's not another man. The standard of judgment is Christ. God hath committed all judgment unto the Son. All judgment is relative to Him. How do you stand in relationship to Him? Is He all your righteousness before God? Is He all your hope before God? Or some of it? Part of it? To the believer, He's everything. Christ is all and in all. He's everything. And our sin's been judged in Him. Now look at verse 43. Here's Peter's last statement. The seventh thing. We are commanded to point all sinners to Him. To Him, verse 43, to Him give all the prophets witness. All the prophets of the Old Testament all pointed to the Lord Jesus. All the apostles of the New Testament all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't they? They in His Word. And all of God's preachers today point sinners to the God-man, the exalted Lord, Jesus Christ. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name. John Gill said one of the old translations of this is through His blood. Through His blood, through His sacrifice. Whosoever believes in Him. Doesn't matter Jew or Gentile. Doesn't matter young, old, bond, free, black, white, yellow, pink. It doesn't matter. He's no respecter of persons. Whosoever believes in Him, this one sin of God. Not a counterfeit Christ now. The Christ of God. The one that's described of God. Sin of God. The one who cannot fail. Who obtained salvation for us by His sacrifice. Whosoever believes in Him, His name, for His name's sake. His blood, His power, His mediation. One God, one mediator between God and men, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever believes in Him shall receive remission, forgiveness of all my sins. Turn just a few pages over to Acts 13. Acts chapter 13. This was Peter's message to Cornelius. Now here's Paul's first message. He's going to say the same thing. Whoever believes on Him has life. And having life, we have redemption, forgiveness of all sin. Acts chapter 13. Verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, there it is again, He's pointing sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. God-man. The God-man. Through this man, Son of God, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Through His blood. By His name. Through His power. By Him all that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the deeds of the law. By Him. Whosoever believes on Him shall receive the gift of remission of sins. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As Peter was preaching this message, three things happened in closing. God blessed Peter's preaching. Verse 45 down through verse 48. The Holy Spirit brought the message home to the believer's heart. When Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them, which heard the word. The gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. He brought the message home to the heart. I can preach and preach and preach unless God blesses that message to your heart. All you hear is just another sermon. It's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. One day I heard the gospel, and He blessed it to my heart, and I'm still here to hear more of Him. Secondly, they gave God all the glory in verse 46. They magnified God. They spake with a new tongue
God gave them a new heart. And they spake with new language, a new tongue. God forbid I should glory save in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they willingly submitted to believers' baptism. And He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's people shall be willing in the day of His power. Of His power. Well, Peter preached a great sermon that day, didn't he? All things commanded thee of God. We are all here to hear God's word. Amen.